It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Sozi!
No, that's Matthew Sozi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sozi.
Leave your stupid comments in your pocket.
Film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. The show is available as a podcast, and it's also available on iTunes. If there's a question, or if you have a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Behind the board, a man who never ceases to amaze me, and this week is no exception, Mr. Kobe Slagle.
Hello, hello.
And as soon as we're done, we will be at Winefest.
That's right.
At the Indiana Roof Ballroom. So if you have no plans or you want to go to Winefest, you can come check us out. You can meet a bunch of the WFYI people, purchase some wine, which is always a good thing. And, of course, a fraction of the proceeds go to support WFYI and programs like Film Sociology, and today we've earned our keep this week. Now we're shifting format just a little bit this week because we have a very special, I'm going to say exclusive, because I don't know anybody else in Central Indiana who got an interview like this. But just mark your calendars, Tuesday night. That's February 8th at IU. What's the theater code?
It is the Wittenberg Auditorium inside the Indiana Memorial Union.
So you can go check that out at IU's website. But they are showing the 2006.
Yeah.
Fairly new cult classic, Tommy Wiseau's The Room. Now, you've heard, Kobe and I, those who are long listeners, we have chuckled about this film at no end, and we're trying to get more people to experience this film. We're trying to get some film festival in Indianapolis to sponsor or maybe get Tommy in the screening of this movie in town. Hint, hint, just saying. But this is Tommy's second appearance at IU in a span of about a year, because you were at the one last year, right?
Yeah, I was actually, yeah, it is...
So
within
once
a year.
Yeah,
I was. He came in March.
So he hits the road every year.
Yep.
So
this is the 2010 Love Is Blind tour.
2011, 2010, 2011.
Website's still saying 2010.
I don't. You know what? Academic,
we might be on the
academic
end,
year.
Oh yeah.
See, so that's
yeah.
Or seasonal year. So, Well, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, this was Tuesday afternoon, not the Moody Blues tune, But Tuesday, the interview was supposed to be 2 o'clock. It turned out to be 2:30. It's okay. But it was when everything was shutting down and people were evacuating WFYI studios and the city of Indianapolis, for that matter, for the most important ice storm in the history of the world. Even though I worked Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, someone has to be on the air. Anyway, I got to sit down and have a phone chat with actor, writer, director, producer, and
genius,
man of all trades, Tommy Wiseau. Ladies and gentlemen, a WFYI Film Sociology exclusive, my chat with Tommy Wiseau. Joining me on Film Sociology is auteur, because you are a man of many skills, Tommy Wiseau. How are you, Tommy?
Hi, how you doing, Moss? You?
Doing great. Now, this is going to be your second appearance, if I remember correctly, at IU for The Room. How was it the last time you were in town?
Oh, we have such a groovy time that they decided to invite us again, and I'm thrilled. And first of all, I'd like to say thank you to all the fans there, and hopefully we'll have a groovy time, and everybody's invited.
Well, we will be there as best we can.
Sure.
So how did you get interested in cinema?
Well, that was a long time ago, believe it or not.
Are you okay?
I am okay. My phone is ringing right now. I apologize.
That's okay. I thought it was a submarine for just a minute.
No problem. You have a great sense of humor. I like that.
Thank you.
To respond to your question, you know, I used to want to sing, believe it or not. And some people actually, I can sing, but never mind about that. Film is always was in my heart, you know, was in the sense and always would be, you know, because image, you know, people remember, et cetera. Through all these years, I studied psychology and this relate to, you know, to how you can connect to people. It's a lot of stuff. We probably don't have a time, but just to briefly to tell you that my first movie actually was The Robbery Doesn't Pay. It's just a short movie I did for class. And I can tell you one thing. I got that A-. You know why it's minus?
Why is that?
Because I use a black and white and colors. And a lot of people ask me, why you use these colors? Like, why is not only one color? And I said, you know what? The reason for it is because of the... I want to people provoke people. And you see, The Room, it's the same thing. If you really translate my vision a long time ago about movies, what I see now. And again, I have a great respect for, this is just a little off from your question, but for everyone who produced the movie, because, you know, it is what it is. It's very difficult, art. What you make a big effort, and it's, I always say, you have to be detail oriented to accomplish something. And as you probably guys know, that some people already know, it's a lot misleading about The Room, about production, etc. online. And hopefully, people are in a few days that will ask me direct questions if they will attend the screening. So move on, next question.
Okay, well, I was saying, to jump on what you said, yeah, regardless of what people think about whether something is good or something is bad, making a movie is really damn hard. And
It is.
The fact that you know, not only wrote and directed and acted, especially in the case with The Room, I mean, it is a task to organize and get everything that, not only from a technical aspect of getting everything that you need, you know, but making sure everything is smooth on the set. How are you on the set when it comes to a director? What kind of atmosphere do you have?
I love a set, you know, but if you're, you know, I always say the set is my house, actually, the theater. I mean, if you refer to The Room, supposed to be a play. I don't know if you know that. I don't want to repeat myself because it would be boring, but just really very quickly background of The Room. Supposed to be played first, and then I decided to, you know, write a script, etc., because of my 600 pages novel, which hopefully somebody want to publish right now, but we're working on it.
It's a 600-page novel this is based on?
Correct.
Wow.
And that was, keep in mind, again, since I'm talking to you, like I say, we don't have too much time, but very quickly, see, people don't realize this, nothing happened by accident, you know, like people say, oh, this accident, that accident. For example, I'm talking as the director right now, I can create a certain ambience and I can anticipate something, but I have to plan. Without planning, you don't have it. And I don't care what you, if you, for example, lead me to, again, to your first question about production. You know, if I don't care if you do a 5-minute movie or a feature movie, guess what? Irony of a story is, for all of you guys to listen now, right now, that is the same thing. The difference is you spend more money, or you make it, you know, you involve more people, but you need the beginning, you need the middle, you need the end. I rest my case. The Room is based on a 600 novel, over actually 600. So people will be surprised, and I noticed, I don't know, Matthew, if you noticed, in the past few years, people actually grasp what was creating. And again, I'm thrilled to say that I'm happy with the fans and great support, and you know, sometimes we do have a bad apple, but you know what, I just accept whatever people you know, have comments about The Room. And again, I don't always say you have to. Actually, my motto is that if a lot of if a lot of people love each other, the world will be a better place to live. By this talking from the room, you see, it doesn't matter that it doesn't, you don't have to write like the room. And I want to stress that, because a lot of people think that, oh, yeah, you have, no, you don't. You see, that's the difference between me as a director, as an actor, you as the audience as well, the listener, that you have choice. And that's what the room is. And I think maybe that's the reason. I didn't conclude 100%, Matthew, but I'll tell you one thing, that maybe that's the reason is that people are, we have great support right now with people because they do see my vision and directly, you know. Mm-hmm. Either they'll, you know, sometimes people say, oh, I don't like this. Well, that's fine. It's nothing wrong. Same with me, you know. If I, for example, see some movie, which I don't even ask me for a name, I may drop a couple of names, maybe.
Okay.
But if I see a movie, it doesn't mean that I have to like all of it. I may, you know, like just a segment of it, etc. Move on, next question.
Will is the book published or will it be published?
No, right now, currently, actually, I'm working with one publisher. Very big guy, actually, one of the biggest publisher company. I don't know what will happen. It's up to them, you know. Again, I'm not here to criticize. I'm not here to bashing anyone. That's not my motto, you know.
Yes.
I was beat up, you know. People beat me up many times, but true fans of the room, like in your school, you know. I'm like, I love you guys. Let me tell you this way, you know.
We're
ready for pictures, and we'll have a groovy time. Move on, next question.
Where did the source for the inspiration for the room begin? Hopefully it's not autobiographical.
Well, let me tell you, this is from life. You see, we all have, I don't know, you have opportunity to see several times the movie or not, but mm-hmm. The fact is that it's from life, relationships, you know, drugs issues. Just recently, I believe on CNN, I have an interview with Greg, and I say very publicly, I would say right now too, you know, between 12 and 2 in America, you have number of crime committed is very high. You may laugh with my statement, but guess what? I studied this,
mm-hmm.
and this is the statistically speaking. Okay, now mostly people see the room in America midnight. So I rest my case. You may say, well, maybe yes, maybe not. But I say to you, yes, it does eliminate indirectly crime. Besides this, as you probably know, and your young audience know about it, that we do not have, and I'm very strongly about it, and I think this is message maybe for, I'm not a politician yet, but this is message for mayors of the cities, you know, across the country, you guys give young people places to express themselves, parks, trees, play footballs. You know, we don't have these places anymore. I'm trying from north to south, from south to east, or whatever, name it. It's the same issue, the same problem, you know, and it's not right, you know, because I think young person, even older person, and we all have certain tendency to express ourselves emotionally through playing football or just whatever you want to do, you know. And we don't have this kind of places, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, people are sometimes doing drastic things, and that's the great area what I think people should realize about the room, and I am very strongly about it, and I'm surprised the big media does not pick up this, you know, because it's true. This is the story. And move on, next question. So
no, it's all right.
I'm
it's
just
cool.
Give you a little speech here.
No, it's okay. Nobody wants to hear me talk. They want to hear you.
No, I want to talk too. Just jump in anytime.
Well, I was saying,
Tommy, it's enough now.
Well, say
okay, 10 more minutes. All right, move on, next question.
Were you jilted by a woman like this in the film?
Well, let me tell you, I've been in a relationship. I will not say I was not.
Okay.
Like I will tell you very honestly, two is better than three, but three is crowd. However, you can have three friends.
Yes.
And I will tell you one thing, that there's nothing wrong when Johnny in the movie, you know, say to Danny, it's okay to love somebody else. But the same time, it's process of learning how far you can go as a person. Mm-hmm. How far you can go, do you have to actually do something physically, or you just to say, look, I love you, man, or I love you to a girl or guy. It doesn't matter. You see, that's what the beauty in a relationship, that we understand and have respect, and how tempting it is. I've been in many situations, I don't know you guys, but we all been there, it's tempting to be very close to someone, you know, or you have certain opportunity, but then you pay for it, you know, by breaking relationships or a relationship. I believe very strongly that we've all been there. If not, I say many times that the room is a red flag. Wait a minute, why should you do when you later on you will regret it? Mm-hmm. And I don't care how strong you are, how much money you have, that's irrelevant. You know, bottom line is, you know what? Feelings you cannot buy, Matthew. And that's the irony in the room.
Well, I say, you have people, you have now hundreds and thousands of people loving you with these screenings. You talk about a place for kids to go. When you have these screenings on campus and in theaters, you know, people have said that you single-handedly brought back the Midnight movie and the cult movie.
Right.
Well, not too much pressure, I hope.
No, I love Pavling, and I always will. The fans, that's priority for me, you know. So it's pressure, little pressure is there, but I like it.
And now, I know right after The Room, you did the documentary, you co-directed the documentary Homeless in America, is that right?
Correct, yes.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? Because I know a lot of people know The Room, but you have done other things since.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, the homeless in America is totally different topic, as you probably know about it since you asked, is dealing with the homelessness in America. And again, you see, long story short, you cannot eliminate homelessness. And now, in since you mentioned this topic, it is what it is, as you know, in America, because of the economy. Actually, I'm working on a new movie about relate to economy. And it's related also to indirectly to homelessness. So, again, this is the gray area, what people don't realize. And, again, you see, some people say, oh, you know what, we can eliminate homelessness. Well, I have not for you all your expert, you know, from politician to media. No, you cannot eliminate homelessness. If you look at a long time ago, let's say 200, 300 years ago, not this country, but other countries, you already have a homeless indirectly. But it was not recognized the way we recognize. But the good news is that if we learn about it, we will not have in America, which is, you know what, Matthew, it's really hurt my feelings that I see this, people actually, you know, lay down on the street in America, underneath the bridges. You know, it's sad. It is very eerie situation, but the good news is that we have a lot of dedicated people, and I wish, you know, I don't wish, but I probably do another documentary. Like, I want to expose all the people actually doing good thing for homelessness, people who never been recognized for their hard work without, you know, to help these people, because it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And again, you see, I'm across America, I see this, you know, I just come back from Houston, the same thing. You know, people say, oh, we don't have a homeless. Well, I'm sorry, you do have, you know. Mm-hmm. But the good news, again, is that we can eliminate, we can help these people. And that's what I come from, you know. Homeless was, did this movie just to find out the truth, not because somebody told me. And what I discovered was pretty eerie, if you ask me. But the good news is we can improve with optimism and good spirit in America. Move on, next question.
What's the status on The House That Drips Blood on Alex?
Well, first of all, I was hired as an actor. Let me stress that. As well as only as an actor. Okay, I did not direct. They direct. That was Comedy Central. They aired it on TV and they put online. And, they supposed to do second episode, I don't know, was pretty excited project, was paid job, of course.
Yes.
And, it was good experience. They could do better, but, you see, it's not me to judge, you know. Some people like it, some people don't.
Well, I think what's been great is that you've been able to go from, you did and I mean this as a compliment.
No problem.
I think the term melodrama gets a bad connotation, and so to go from a melodrama to documentary to horror, I mean, and just even you're just acting in that, you're able to go from one genre to another.
I think that's a compliment. If you ask me, you don't have to apologize, but you see, I don't call it, and again, this is your statement, melodrama. You may argue that The Room partially is melodrama based on the talking, if you analyze Johnny's character. Mm-hmm. I agree, you got me on that one. But at the same time, the reason we call black comedy, again, people don't realize black comedy leading towards melodrama.
Right.
Melodrama, as you probably know, defined melodrama is based... it's more than normal.
Mm-hmm.
So you much more dramatic approach. But irony of a story, again, I will say very openly that I have some friends that they're really melodramatic, if you ask me.
We all do, Tommy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Again, this is based on my research, okay? Mm-hmm. I will say, that hopefully we have more discussion like that about with the fans as well, with you guys, with media, because Matthew, you're part of the media one way or the other.
Yep.
Actually, I'd like to have a program, if you guys can organize it while there, we can have big discussion, So it's up to you guys. But anyway, move on. Next question.
You talk about dark comedies, black comedies. What are some of your favorites?
What do you mean?
Are there other dark comedies like Dr. Strangelove or Harold and Maude that inspired you?
Well, you see, again, I inspire myself, but however, good point. I like, for example, if you look at not so much comedy or, to me, comedy, let's put it this way, comedy, drama, melodrama, black comedy, whatever you define, I define as the colors. Colors means the more colors you have within your project, in this case, The Room or other movies, either including Homeless in America, as you mentioned, you will not just to provoke people, but it will be interesting to see your project or movie, whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, some people say, oh, this is short, this is long, whatever. But the colors for me is very important. Now, to respond to your question, I influence myself, however I'm fond of, for example, Cleopatra with Elizabeth Taylor.
Yes.
Because, again, this is the manipulation of woman aspect in life if you compare it to Juliet in The Room. Now, Orson Welles, for example, Citizen Kane, Giants with James Dean and others. Why these people we watching, by my research, a lot of people watching from time to time, what is the reason? What is behind? Or is my case, The Room, we can say the same thing. What is behind? Is it that bad because it's good, or is it good, is it bad? Well, as you know, Matthew, bad is expression, also it's good.
Mm-hmm.
In slang in America, as you know.
Yes.
If you have two guys walking, they are close friends, they will not say, oh, this is great movie. They say, oh, this is so bad, you'll have to see it. And again, people, I don't understand, but, some of the stuff, I'm just laughing because it's laughable, to be honest with you. But the bottom line is people enjoy this film, and that's the bottom line. And we have a really great discussion like we have right now. So we have 10 more minutes. Move on, next question.
Okay. I'll say, besides the documentary about the economy, is there any scripts or feature films that you have planned?
Yes, absolutely. I'm working on vampire movie as well as Alex Blood, Vampire the Alex, as well. There'll be continuous what we did with Comedy Central, but slightly different angle, as well as I'm working currently, I'm shooting The Neighbors. We are casting currently, actually today, believe it or not. So I'm working very hard to entertain people, hoping people have a groovy time.
I'm saying, where's the what do you think will happen next? Which one do you think will come, or is it, you know, whatever comes to you first?
Well, The Neighbors actually will be available within probably 2 months. We're doing 5 episodes. And the Academy Award released before June. At Vampire, I'm working. But at the same time, I don't know if you're aware, but we'll be releasing Blu-ray of The Room. And that'll be before Christmas. As well as I'm working also on the 3D movie as well. 3D of The Room.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm doing the testing almost as we speak, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we did some of it because we are... I don't know if you want to hear more about it, but just one sentence about it. We are scanning from 35 millimeter print.
Right.
I'm referring to 3D of The Room.
Mm-hmm.
The Room with in 3D.
So the love, we're going to get even closer to the love scenes.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
So we're going to get even closer to you guys during the love scenes.
I think so.
as a director, what do you what's some of the things that you do to help out actors? I know you had a fairly young cast on The Room, but how do you approach actors from a directing standpoint? And how do you direct yourself?
Well, directing is very tough. You see, so again, I have a system of if you refer to the Room, I had a system, and now I have a system as well. That you know. I'm doing ratio 1-4, and basically I believe in a rehearsal process. In The Room, we have like, 6 months rehearsal before we shot The Room, but irony of the story is, but I did change the actors several times, as well the crew was changed 4 times. So a lot of actors, there's only 1-2 person who actually been with me for a long time, what you see on the big screen. But to respond to your question, I am very detail-oriented person, if I may say that. Yes, of course I can say that.
You just did.
but at the same time, not self-centered. Let me say that too. So my system is pretty straightforward. What I can share with you if you want to hear.
Please.
Well, you record yourself and you watch yourself and then you try to adjust base what you see. And I believe in adjustment, you see, at the same time, but you have to, one of the gray areas, you have to eliminate your subjective approach. So you go base as a, I am as a director, I say, what is the character saying, what he or she is doing, what's the situation? So it's the last obstacle come to your brain, and you have to divide it. You cannot combine together because then you get lost. That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you see yourself, then you record again and say, okay, I like this scene. No, I have to improve that, okay? And when you are good actors, by the way, I never say on the records that actors are good or bad. What I'm saying, sometimes they don't give us certain, they're not sharing this. They're not giving enough. What I mean by that, they're missing the colors. Because any actors could be very, the best of the best. And that's why the reference to actors, some people sometimes ask me and say, can you cast this particular person because he or she make $20 million? I say, absolutely not. Because I already know that they cannot offer what I think I'm looking for. So for all of you, for all your listeners, it's not... You have to be popular, acting is sharing. That's basically my definition of good acting, if I can say good acting. But I try not to divided good and bad as an actor, because I'm not a critic. I'm just going by provocation. My job as a director to provoke people positive ways if I can. So if I do that, I do a good job as far as in my hands, in my eyes. Now, again, about the system, so that's basically when I shot The Room, I recorded this VHS tape. And by the way, I'm still writing the book about it, the difference between the HD and 35, because we use both cameras. I know it's laughable a little bit, but you know what? The way I see it this way, the simplicity is virtue of success. What I mean by that is very interesting. Even today, after all these years, I still cannot find there's something where people say, okay, this is the HD, this is 35, this is the difference. That's the money what you spend on 35, that's what you spend on HD. I still don't have that. And this is the thing what I said on DVD very openly, that Hollywood was confused. And I was confused myself. And people lyrically say, oh, he didn't know what he was doing. Again, guys, some of you guys listening to this, you're incorrect. Please ask the question. I'll be glad to explain you what I meant by that, okay? But today, what we do, like we'll be doing, for example, The Neighbors, if I am, because I'm playing one of a Charlie character, I'll be recording myself and just watch it and analyze, okay, that's what I want. That's not what I don't want. But I have also assistant as well. So I work with two or three assistants. In The Room, I had like four different assistants. So I said, you guys watch this, you give me feedback, you know what I'm saying? So it's very hard work if you refer to directing. Acting as well, it's not easy job, but it's very, I love it, you know, I like it.
I say, tell a little bit, for those who don't know what The Neighbors is, why don't you refresh them?
Yeah, let me clarify. The Neighbors, it's a sitcom, it's TV pilot. It's, again, you see, I like variety. So we go from homeless to The Room, from vampire to The Neighbors. Matthew, you are good.
Thank you.
I know how be the sound, how they will listen to your audiences. The Neighbors is dealing with, again, relationship. It's a character, Charlie. You can go to The Room. It's theneighborssitcom.com, and you see the synopsis as well, the characters that we are currently working on. Right now as we speak. Yes.
Well, I say, you mentioned earlier about singing. Any plans maybe doing a musical somewhere down the line?
Actually, you know what? We actually working on the remix of their words from the lyrics from the script, and you probably hear something probably because we're working currently. Last year we did some stuff, but we never published. So soon you can hear something.
I say, like you said, from stage to movies to documentaries to television, you're never bored.
No, I like variety, if you ask me. So we have two more questions. I'm sorry I have to go.
Oh, no, that's okay. I would say, has there been any movies out recently that you've been able to watch and enjoy recently?
Yes, but I will not tell you because then people are blogging about it. But I will tell you one thing. I give you one clue.
All right.
See, I make a laugh on you.
Okay.
That's great. I tell you one. One is dealing with started in S, like a social. I am not telling you the name.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, all right. Boy, you keep us hanging.
It was very easy to find out. Come on, you know about it.
Yes. I say, how was it working with Tim and Eric?
That was pretty good, yeah. They're very nice people to work and very given, but sometimes we're not on the same page, but I've been working with them for four times. Let's see, one, two, three, four times, yes. And they're a very given person and people, you know. They're very creative. That's what the entertainment is about, creation.
Tommy, thank you so much for your time. I can't wait to see you in Bloomington on Tuesday. I'll get in touch with John, and hopefully we can meet up before or afterwards.
Yeah, no problem. And also, if you need any images, whatever, let us know, and thank you.
Thank you, Tommy. Take care.
No problem. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
There you go, folks. My chat with Tommy Wiseau. He and his film, The Room, will be at IU. What's the theater again?
The Wittenberg Auditorium. on the campus of Indiana University at the Indiana Memorial Union.
Or as it says on the room website,
the Indiana University.
8 o'clock, Tuesday night. We'll be there.
Yes, we will.
Hopefully you will be too. Let's take a short break. I'm going to play for you some music from John Barry. The film composer died on the 30th at the age of 77. He won 5 Oscars and is probably best known for a series of songs from the James Bond series. Here's one of them. We'll be right back. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. Thank you, Tommy. And, of course, before that, you heard Shirley Bassey singing Goldfinger. That, of course, was done by John Barry, the film composer who died on January 30th at the age of 77. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment or you want to find out more about the room, you can go to msoci@WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Kobe Slagle's over here.
Everything that you need to know.
Kobe Slagle's working the board, dumbfounded at what was supposed to be a 20-minute interview that turned out to be 30. Thank you, Tommy, on that.
Yep.
Of course, the room when Tommy was over, they're going to be at IU on Tuesday evening. So you heard the one ID. This was Tommy's first attempt at a station ID.
Hi, you listening? Film Sociology, WFYI, Indianapolis. Have a groovy time. Listen.
Thank you. Yes. That's why we're here, folks. Hopefully you'll be in Bloomington on Tuesday night, I know.
It'll be a groovy time.
It will be a groovy time. Okay, move on. Next segment. So I preempted the new film chat for the Tommy Wiseau, of course, which is fine. That's good, you know.
We're pro-Tommy.
We are pro-Tommy. This week, of course, we were supposed to have a screening of Sanctum on Tuesday, but that wasn't happening because of the weather, fortunately, and also was it The Company Men, which I honestly didn't get a chance to see, and then The Roommate, and guess what? They didn't screen that for us.
That looks scary.
If that's your definition of scary, sure.
I don't.
You're not going to watch it.
I've not seen nothing about it.
You're not a scary person. You're not a scary movie guy.
No.
You're a scary person, but you're not a scary movie guy.
Oh, that's a bad joke.
That's a bad joke. So, however, opening in theaters, well, in Indianapolis today, is the new film from Mike Leigh called Another Year with Jim Broadbent and Ruth Sheen as an old married couple who have people coming in and out of their lives in many different ways. And, of course, it's broken into 4 parts, the 4 seasons, not Vivaldi, but the people who bounce in and out of their lives. And, of course, Mike Leigh is best known for films like Topsy Turvy, Vera Drake, Life is Sweet, Naked, and many, many others.
Don't do your back in.
I know. Doesn't get any easier. Job for a younger man, this.
Mum, Dad, this is Katie.
Hello.
This is Tom and Jerry.
Hello.
Tom and Jerry, that's brilliant.
Oh, you, Tom.
Ah, Buenos Aires.
Yeah, because I thought that. Well, you went there, didn't you? The two of you, Argentina.
No, I didn't, no.
Didn't you?
Eat, drink, be merry. I don't know.
Life's not always kind, is it?
What are we going to do with you then, eh? Can't go on like this, that's for sure.
As long as we're friends, then I'm all right.
Another Year is a film that it got an Academy Award nomination for Best Original Screenplay, and well-deserved, I might add. And this is an example of a film that, because of the Oscar nominations, it is expanding to a wider market. Wider markets, smaller towns, I hope, even smaller than Indianapolis. Of course, we saw that with Black Swan and King's Speech. But Another Year, I'm glad, is finally getting into town. I'm a big fan of Mike Leigh's work. He's probably the modern creator of the kitchen sink dramas, which of course were famous in England in the 50s. Look Back in Anger, Saturday Night and Sunday Morning, I believe it's called, with Albert Finney. And Broadbent is, you want to talk about being very meticulous in his style. I know our interview just talked about he had rehearsals for 6 months. Well, Mike Leigh actually does as well. He works for 6 months with his characters on development. They do improvisations, and then what comes out of the improvs many times winds up in the film itself. So a lot of people who have worked with, and he has his core of players, Jim Broadbent, who we've known for many, many years. I'm sorry, Academy Award winning Jim Broadbent. Love Jim Broadbent. Of course, got an Oscar for Iris. And, of course, has been in many of his films. You know him from Moulin Rouge and Bullets Over Broadway. And Ruth Sheen, who's also a regular, as is Imelda Staunton. Imelda Staunton has a really, really cool scene at the beginning. He's an archaeologist. She is a counselor, and she is a client for the doctor at the beginning of the film. She's only in the very beginning, but Imelda Staunton, who, of course, played Vera Drake, among others, and was in Harry Potter as Umbridge. But she sets the tone about seeing if things can change, and the fact that, as you hear in the trailer, people come in and out of their lives, like their son and his friend Ken, played by Peter White, who is a very sad, lonely, very drinky man, and a woman who probably should have gotten a supporting actress nomination. And we'll break down who would take her spot, I guess, whose spot she would take. It was Leslie Manville, who plays Mary, as a co-worker of Jerry. By the way, the married couple, Jerry and Tom.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. G-E-R-R-I.
Oh.
And therefore, they're Tom and Jerry. But Leslie plays Mary. Leslie Manville plays Mary, who's a woman. It's very reminiscent of Brenda Blethyn in Secrets and Lies, another Mike Leigh film, where she's just... nothing's going right, and she's trying to hold on to her youth, and she has some little, maybe too strong feelings for her friend's young son, who's probably in his 20s or late 20s, early 30s, and just trying to hold on to something from her younger days, and it's just sadly not happening. So this is a very character-driven film, and I know we've had plenty of those because the Oscar movies are still out there, but it takes its time. It's beautifully acted, simply directed, but wonderfully done by Mike Leigh. And I do want to comment and give a shout out to Gina Wagner from Haunted Flower. If you get a chance, go to her website and check out her review of the film itself, or she did. You knew, but But we kind of made fun of her a little bit because she had never seen a Mike Leigh film. And she, well, calls me out in her review, which is really kind of funny. But anyway, no, Mike Leigh's film, definitely worth checking out. Go see it. Let it last more than a week here in Indianapolis. It's that good. Okay, we got a couple other film notes going on. Tonight, if you don't have plans, if you're not going to Indie Wine Fest, why wouldn't you really? But tonight at the Toby Theater at the IMA, they're showing a Charlie Chaplin double feature. They're showing The Idle Class and The Kid, both with live accompaniment by the Indianapolis Chamber Orchestra.
Cool.
That's really cool. I'm trying to remember. I don't think I have done an event like this. So this is kind of an old school where you used to have musicians in the theater, whether it was on the harpsichord or the organ or the piano playing. But this is a full chamber orchestra with doing music for the movies of Charlie Chaplin. Really, really cool stuff. All right. We got some time. Now, I played before you. I played before you? No. Kobe played it. I told him to play it. But we played the song Goldfinger, which was done by composer John Barry, who died on January 30th at the age of 77. The man won 5 Academy Awards in his career. Not too bad.
Nope.
2 for Born Free. That's a 60s movie if there ever was one, Kobe. I don't know if I'll make you watch that yet. But it's for Best Song and Best Score. The Lion in Winter, which was the best film of 1968. No offense to 2001. Or Oliver. He also got an Oscar for Out of Africa and Dances with Wolves. And he also, now a lot of people credited him with the James Bond theme itself. No, not quite. But he did do many of the title track songs, like we just heard from Russia. We heard Goldfinger and from Russia with Love. And let's see, what else did he do? Thunderball, which we'll play in a little second. You Only Live Twice. Some of the other films you might know that he did music for. Zulu, The Ipcress File with Michael Caine, The Knack and How to Get It, King Rat, The Chase, Boom with Elizabeth Taylor, Tommy Wiseau's favorite, and Richard Burton, Petula, Midnight Cowboy, which we're going to end the show with. We'll get to that. On Her Majesty's Secret Service, of course, the Bond film with George Lazenby. Walkabout, They Might Be Giants, Diamonds Are Forever. Also sang, performed by, Shirley Bassey. I knew that. A Doll's House, Mary Queen of Scots, Man with a Golden Gun, They Had a Locust, Robin and Marian, which is the sweet old Robin and Marian tale with Sean Connery and Audrey Hepburn. King Kong, the 1976 version, The White Buffalo, The Deep, The Betsy, Game of Death, Hanover Street, Moonraker, Black Hole, Night Games, Raise the Titanic, Inside Moves, Body Heat. I'm going to add that to your account as well, I think. Francis, High Road to China, Octopussy, The Cotton Club, A View to a Kill, he did Howard the Duck, and Peggy Sue Got Married, Living Daylights, Chaplin, Indies of Proposal, The Specialist, My Life, Cry the Beloved Country, The Scarlet Letter, Mercury Rising, Playing by Heart, and Enigma, and much, much more.
Busy.
Very busy man. So I played for you Goldfinger by Shirley Bassey. I have to do this because how often do I get to do this and justify it? Do we have Thunderball in there?
We do not have Thunderball.
Are you sure? Check the music.
You said it, and I was looking for it. No? Oh, you know what?
There it is.
It's right here.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tom Jones singing Thunderball, written by John Barry.
He always runs while others walk. He acts wild. Just talk. He looks at this world and wants it all. So he strikes like thunderbolt. He knows the meaning of success. His needs are more, so he gives less. They call him the winner who takes all.
don't throw your hotel keys and other female garments at the building. That's Tom Jones singing Thunderball, written by John Barry. Actually, right after this show, right after Film Sociology, you can hear an interview with John Barry on Fresh Air, which is a lot of fun listening to. And they talk about the making of the song Thunderball and Goldfinger. A couple other movie obits, especially those who are fans of foreign films from the 60s and 70s. Maria Schneider died this past week at the age of 58. Did a lot of films in Europe, obviously, but best known for two movies. I don't know if I'm going to inflict these on you because, well, they're both from the 70s. But one is the Antonioni film, The Passenger, with Jack Nicholson, which is a really, really good film.
Wait a minute. I think I've seen that.
Where he is a reporter that picks up the identity of a criminal. It's very quiet, very slow, but very well done and very Italian.
Yes, I have seen
You
that.
Have seen that.
I have seen The Passenger.
I'm impressed. Yep. Not Passenger 57.
Nope.
Because Wesley Snipes is not in this. Okay. Nope. But she's also known. She was 19 years old when she co-starred with Marlon Brando in Bernardo Bertolucci's Last Tango in Paris from 1973. Famous for a scene involving butter. And it's not Paula Deen. So... anyway, not a first date movie, but a pretty good emotionally gut-wrenching film about a widow, a widower, and a young woman who occupy an apartment just for physical purposes. And, you know, emotions get in the way. There's that. Okay. Also, actress Lena Nyman, who is famous for the 1967 film I Am Curious, Yellow, and was also in the film I Am Curious, Blue. Banned in Sweden for a while because of their explicit nature. But these were art films, as you know. But she, art films, you know, for medicinal purposes. But also wind up working with Ingmar Bergman in the film Autumn Sonata back in 1978. So a woman who has her foot in and a footnote in movie history. Well, Mr. Slagle, I think it's time for a segment we haven't had in a couple of weeks.
Alrighty.
Let's hit it.
And now it's time for What is Kobe Watching?
What is Kobe Watching?
Now, I think the last time we had What is Kobe Watching? Oh, by the way, Indie Wine Fest tonight, Indiana Roof Ballroom.
Yep.
We will be there.
Yep.
You will be too, hopefully.
Yep.
Let's see. I made you watch The Friends of Eddie Coyle because yes. Director Peter Yates passed, and you reminded me it was from the 70s.
Yeah, I did.
Thanks.
Yep.
And you also watch the rock opera Tommy, which is not a gateway for more freaky stuff, apparently.
No, nope, it is not. Similar to Blue Velvet it's similar to that in Blue Velvet in the fact that it is not a gateway.
Okay.
For more, no.
But not nearly as bizarre as Blue Velvet.
No, it wasn't as bizarre as Blue Velvet, and... It was all over the place? Yeah, a little bit. Aretha, or no.
Tina Turner.
Tina.
Is the Acid Queen.
Aretha. Tina was freaky.
What she's supposed to be. She's the Acid Queen.
Man.
Okay. Well, now, just a little inside tip. Not a whole, I'm not going to tell you everything, but, but Kobe and I have been having a recurring joke, around work as far as the cop duo movies or TV series, and we're just gonna kind of leave it at that. So because of that, and because somebody has had
we kick down doors and get answers
in radio form, and but somebody who's been not too high on the films of the 1970s, even though I think they're one of the greatest film eras ever. But I thought, okay, I'm gonna hit Mr. Slagle with not one, not two, but three. Hard-hitting cop dramas from the 1970s, and we'll start with Serpico.
Serpico,
starring Al Pacino, directed by Sidney Lumet, F. Murray Abraham, who was a guest on Film Sociology last year, had a small part in that. He's the guy who shoots Pacino. He had a hair on at that time and a hat. But of course, this is based on the true story of Frank Serpico, a cop who went undercover, and it was kind of a big deal at that time for a police officer to grow his hair out and facial hair out and shaggy clothes and, you know, I actually look like he's undercover.
Yeah.
Mr. Slagle, your thoughts?
It was...
are you laughing at?
You're sighing and you're trying to be nice to the
film.
No,
see, I'm trying to. I did like it. I was expecting something else because
you
I started
expecting
off.
Dirty Harry, weren't you?
I watched this after I watched French Connection and before I watched Dirty Harry.
Okay.
So I was, you know, I watched French Connection and French Connection's awesome.
We'll get to that.
We put in Serpico, Pacino, and I'm expecting one thing, but it, you know, we open up and he gets shot. And then it's...
Flashback.
Yeah.
Which a lot of stories now...
Life story Frank Serpico.
Yeah, that's kind of how the stories are... A lot of stories are told nowadays, yeah. So... Okay, now fair enough.
It was
that's
cool.
Fine.
One of my favorite.
But then we talk about The French Connection.
Yes.
Gene Hackman won an Oscar for that. Best Picture winner in 1971. William Friedkin won for that as well. Roy Scheider plays his partner. And yeah, they stomp and... It's a lot
that
of
was cool.
Also a lot of procedural. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, stalking and shagging down bars and
it's not slow, it takes its time.
Thank you. Boy, that sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah.
But also one of the all-time great car chase scenes.
Yeah, that was really cool.
No permits. but no, it's a really, really good film and Popeye Doyle, played by Gene Hackman, is one of the all-time great cinema cops. Now that same year, 1971. Another cop movie came out. It's become more of an icon than a movie, really. But I was not really surprised, but I was really happy to know that I was able to introduce to you Dirty Harry.
Yes. Unbelievable. So awesome.
And that is a film that really stirred a lot of people. That was a hornet's nest in 1971.
Really?
Well, let's see. Part of it is who gets justice and who doesn't. The country was disillusioned. You know, think about the hippie movement was really against anti-authority, and here we have a kick-down, stomping, gun-shooting hero, kind of a modern cowboy, and it's all kinds of cool. But yeah, that kind of cinched in Eastwood. He had already latched on as a Western star, that pretty much set it up there as well.
Dad was saying, because Dad's been watching these. You know, with me,
right?
When I'm watching him and stuff, and he saw when it came out back in what
71,
and this was Eastwood's first thing after like he establishes himself.
No,
in the westerns, but then this was his first.
Not in Hollywood, but because after the spaghetti westerns, he did do some westerns like Hang 'Em High, Two Mules for Sister Sarah. He did some war films like Kelly's Heroes and Where Eagles Dare. But to just do and he did do Coogan's Bluff, where he was an Arizona Ranger. Flying to New York to bring a prisoner back. So it's kind of a fish out of water story that's been done many, many times before. But this is the one that really kind of stitched it in. Just a little trivia. Some of the actors that apparently turned this role down, Paul Newman, John Wayne, and Frank Sinatra.
Oh, no way.
Well, way, depending on who you talk to. And it was funny because, you know, John Wayne would turn this film down, and it would only be 3 years after this with the success of the Dirty Harry series and the other gritty cop films, and the fact that the westerns were still the torch was being passed on to Clint Eastwood, whether John Wayne liked it or not, and he wound up doing two cop films on his own, McHugh and Brannigan, two of his last films near the end of his career. So now you still have the Clint Eastwood box set.
I got the box set. Going to do
Magnum Force
this weekend.
The other, and I would say the Enforcer, Sudden Impact, and the Deadpooler. Strictly optional. Now, that being said, I thought I'd get you another hard-boiled cop film called Hard Boiled, directed by John Woo. And because you like funny stuff and not freaky, scary stuff, one of the funniest films ever made, A Fish Called Wanda from 1988. An Oscar for Kevin Kline, well-deserved. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get ready for Wine Fest. Thank you to Tommy Wiseau for giving us 30 minutes of his life and 30 minutes for this show. We hope to see you at IU on Tuesday evening.
Yep.
Here are some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
And this is John Barry's music from Midnight Cowboy. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. Hope to see you at Indy Wine Fest at the Indiana Roof Ballroom. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
We gone!